Blog Talk Radio.
Goodbye, Joe. Me gotta go. Me, oh my, oh. Me gotta go pull the P-Row down the bayou. My Yvonne, the sweetest one. Me, oh my, oh. Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bayou. Jumbo line, a crawfish pie, a filet gumbo. Cause tonight I'm gonna see Mama Shazamio. Pick it tough, fill fruit jar, and be gay, oh. Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bayou.
And every moment of every day, your 17 trillion cells are dying and regenerating and cloning themselves to renew yourself all over again. You want your cells to reproduce exactly the same way as they were before, because this process of mitosis, which is cellular division and reproducing the exact same cells as before, means that you stay young, you stay healthy, you keep your youth gene cluster, so you keep the blueprint for cellular and DNA health, as opposed to suffering from genetic mutations and DNA malfunctions, whereby your cells might get damaged in the process of reproduction. And you can contribute to healthy cellular reproduction via the environment that you surround yourself in, the food that you put in your body, the lifestyle that you engage in, the thoughts that you think, and the behaviors that you choose. And these are the questions that we discuss here on Eating for Meaning, and I'm your host. My name is Dr. Millie, and I want to thank you so much for tuning in this week. I am a naturopathic doctor, and I'm a certified nutrition specialist. I am the founder of a program, a year-long nutrition program called Eating for Meaning. The workbook is available on Kindle. It's available on Amazon.com. And it's also available on my website, which is milliesays.com. And on this program, we discuss all the principles of eating for meaning. We discuss how you change your relationship with food, how you solve your relationship with food so that you can get joy out of eating again, so that you can maximize nutrition, so that you can maximize healthy cellular reproduction, and so that you can try new foods and pass along healthy genes, not only for yourself and for your future, but also onto your children and onto your grandchildren, because you are not only what you eat, you are also what your grandparents ate. And this is the process of epigenetics, whereby our genetic makeup is determined not only by the genes that are present within us, but actually our genes are influenced by our behaviors. And your grandparents behaved in a certain way and ate in a certain way, and you have inherited their genetics, their DNA that's come from their choices. And so today on the show, I'm extremely happy to have a special guest. I've got Coach Rhea, and Coach Rhea Wilk is a life coach, and she's going to be joining me. We're going to go for a short break, and when we come back, I'm going to introduce her, and we're going to talk all about behavior change today. We'll be having a conversation helping you understand what it takes to change your behavior, to start acting like you want to, because we're all bombarded with nutritional information, but we don't necessarily know how to make the changes that we need to make in order to incorporate them in our lifestyle. We might know what we have to do, but we can't get around to doing it. And Coach Rhea Wilk, she is the president of Your Life Now, and she is a professional coaching and training company. And so we're going to introduce her and welcome her aboard when we come back after the break. Stay tuned.
She wants to know where the relationship is going. He didn't know it was going anywhere. Having an awareness of our differences can make or break a relationship. As men and women, we have no problem falling in love. The problem is staying in love. Janice Hoffman gives men and women easy-to-use tools to keep the passion alive in their relationship. The former training director for Mars Venus Institute, Janice Hoffman trained over 550 Mars Venus facilitators and counselors and developed curriculum for the Mars Venus workshops. Today, she is the award-winning author of Relationship Rules, 12 Strategies for Creating a Love That Lasts. Don't do more in your relationship. Do what you already do differently. Let Janice Hoffman teach you the skills to keep the passion alive. Get the passion back with Relationship Rules. Visit JaniceHoffman.com today and get your own autographed copy of Relationship Rules.
Are you single and ready for an extraordinary relationship? This is Jill Crosby, owner of SpiritualSingles.com, the largest exclusively conscious dating site online. We provide conscious, spiritually evolved singles an easy, fun, effective venue to meet other like-hearted spiritual singles. Join for free today and meet your soulmate, twin flame, poly partners, and or friends on SpiritualSingles.com. That's SpiritualSingles.com.
And welcome back to the show. My name is Dr. Millie, and I'm the host, and this is Eating for Meaning on Blog Talk Radio, broadcasting to you live from Mountain, my clinic in Brooklyn at 903 Franklin Avenue. And I want to welcome my special guest today. Her name is Rhea Wilk, and she is a life coach. She is the CEO, founder, president at Your Life Now, LLC, a professional coaching and training company. And Ms. Wilk is an executive coach, an entrepreneur, a sales strategist, business consult, and marketing strategist. And she is certified as a business coach, a life coach, a leadership coach, and a neuro-linguistic programming coach, an NLP coach, which means she can really get into your brain to make you make decisions without you even knowing it. She is an expert in personal and professional development, business consulting, and marketing strategist and leadership coaching. And Ms. Wilk is the founder and the executive producer of Your Life Now, a radio show with Coach Rhea, which I have had the fortune of guesting on. She is a feature host, featured show with over 4 years' experience hosting and producing a quality radio show. And Coach Rhea also specializes in working with small business owners and managers seeking information and advice about personal and business issues. She teaches her clients how to set themselves free from old beliefs so they can expand their lives without any limitations whatsoever. Coach Rhea is an award-winning author of Your Life, Your Way, the 10 Must-Have Goals to Improve Your Life, and she also specializes in the production of ads for her guests and clients for promotional use. Additional information can be provided upon request by visiting her website at yourlifenow.info or by emailing Coach Rhea at info@coachingbyrhea.com. That's R-E-A. com. And I want to welcome Coach Rhea today to the show. Are you with me, Rhea?
I am. Thank you. My goodness, you did me better than I did you. So thank you for that great intro.
Absolutely. Well, I'm so excited to have you on. And I'm so excited that we're going to be co-hosting the show because obviously you are an expert in behavior change, behavior modification, and really helping your clients achieve their goals.
Well, I would think I do a little knowing of that. Yes, thank you. Yes,
And so what do you think? So we're going to have a conversation today. We're going to discuss my nutrition program, Eating for Meaning, and we're going to discuss our own belief systems, our coaching tips, and our own personal relationships with food and our health in general. And I think anytime that you're in the health coaching business or in the nutrition business, personally you have a story. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I agree, yes.
And what has gotten you to where you are? How did you, what's your journey in becoming a coach?
Well, you just said the word journey. I was on a self journey or self discovery myself. I mean, I know myself, but you get to learn more about who you truly are by trying to ask a lot of questions, figure out where you are right now and what you want. And I was not in a place that I really wanted to be in at that time. You know, on a personal level, you know, I was in transition career wise. You know, coming from corporate background in sales and marketing, and then being on my own when I started my company. So I, you know, it was a lot of things was going on at that time. We're talking about, like, you know, 10 years ago, pretty much, or 10, 11 years ago when that transition started to happen for me. And that's when the work started. And I am where I am right now because of that moment that I decided I wanted to make some changes in my life.
And so how did you proceed? How did you train yourself? And given your corporate background and your marketing background, what route did you take?
Well, here, you know, you basically, like you said, we are co-hosting the show together. I appreciate you, you know, acknowledging that, because it's really, we're just having a conversation here. And you know, you're saying a lot of things that I wanted to emphasize on. You got to know what you want. Right? And you got to know where you are. Those are the two important things for anybody who trying to change or advance themselves or want to do something different than what they are doing right now. Are you happy where you are right now? So for me, I asked a lot of questions, and I put them out there, and I took what I have as tools. Not necessarily, we're not talking about beliefs, because that's something we're going to talk about, you know, when we're discussing, you know, why we do what we do and why we sabotage ourselves and eat and overeat or not eat the right things. It all really has to do with what we think about ourselves. For me, that was not the issue. It was not a food issue. It was more like, you know, a personal issue and then career. The combination of the two, you know, I needed to reinvent myself. I needed to find what skills, what talents did I have that I can actually utilize to advance me, and what do I need to learn to move forward. So those are the things that, you know, I kept doing, and I always say, I mention it in my book a lot. I mean, every single chapter in the book, I really discuss the specific goals that can help you change your behavior, change how you think about yourself, change how you think about specific things in your life. So you list all these things, and then you start working on them. You start setting goals. So I did that, and I continue to do that. I really do, to keep myself, you know, moving forward, because, you know, we're always moving in life, you know. It's the question is, are you moving forward or are you moving backward? That's the only things that you have to really, you know, ask yourself. So for me, I'm always thinking about moving forward. So I'm always thinking about what I have right now that can help me, and what can I add, what can I improve on and so forth. So, you know, it really just basically awareness is really important, you know, knowing, you know, where you are right now.
Yeah, a lot of people, I think, get to a point where they're so frustrated and so confused, and they've tried so many different techniques that they might not even know, you know, where to start. They might not even know that changing behavior is a result of asking yourself questions. But that's a really good one. Am I happy where I am now, and where am I? And of course the answer is going to be no. And where do I want to go?
And then you got to ask yourself what influenced what you think. You know, because what you think, it might be based on what you think you know, and what you know could be, again, that's another question, big question. Where are you getting this information? Last week at my show, I talked about information overload. We get information from all over the place. Now, how you validate this information? Right now, you and I, we're talking about things. When people are listening, it doesn't mean that you need to take what you heard and apply it directly. You need to process this information. You need to figure out if that information actually works for you. Does it? How so? You know, you got to ask a lot of questions. And that's, again, awareness.
And so when you're taking on personal, yeah, and I absolutely agree. I think that you have to find. I do think it's about finding the proper resources for yourself. So, for instance, if you are looking to change your career, or if you are looking to change your relationship with food, or whatever it is, I think that a lot of people just tend to jump on fads because there is so much information being bombarded at us, or mm-hmm. if something has worked for somebody else, then they tend to, you know, that they might want to follow along without first tuning into their own belief systems, their own capabilities. So I think that that's really important, is to find your own boundaries and what your own personal goals are without really relying too much on what everybody else is saying.
Well, you can rely on trusted source. See, this is not like what I'm not saying that information out there is bad. Knowledge is power. But knowledge, if it's not processed, not validated from trusted places and knowing it works because there's a research that shows that it works, you know, but not necessarily has to work for you because it might not work for you, right? So we all have a different way of reacting to things. You are a professional. You are expert. So people, I think they should listen to you. You know, I follow your posts. I mean, I think, you know, people really need to make sure that they go and read your posts and follow your work and so on and so forth, because you are a trusted source as far as health and nutrition and a relationship with food and what food means and different food, our body. You are professional. You're expert. So you validate source.
Yes,
right?
That's true.
Right.
And I appreciate that. And I do, but it does come down to this question, which is something that I wanted to ask you, because there's so much good information out there. And I think that was my point. Not that people shouldn't be listening to the information out there, because there's actually so many educated people. There's so many experts out there. And it's true, people definitely have to get educated. They definitely have to. It's very difficult to make any kind of change without first researching what the options are, which direction to take, which approaches are available to you, and maybe prioritizing them. And so education is this kind of dangling carrot. Oh, if I only had more education, then I would be able to make the change. But that's not necessarily true.
No, right. Absolutely, you're right. See, I just, like, while I was talking, I'm always thinking, like I will say, I'm always thinking. I wrote down a really key things that you really need to think about when you are searching for information or you're looking for information. First of all, what are you looking for? Okay? Second is, why are you looking for this? So you have to be specific. It's like when you set in goals, right? You have to be very, very specific in order for you to be able to accomplish that goal. You need to be very, very specific. You need to know what is it that you want, right? Why you want it, and what would happen when you get it. So that's the same thing when you're applying information, right? When you're asking a question about something, what are you asking for? What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Because when you look for something, you're going to find it, right? But if it's something like you're making up in your head, because you know how we do the F what, you know, what if, what if, what if. I used to be one of those people, especially when it comes to health. I was like, that's why I turn off news. I really don't. You know, like if I'm looking for information, I'm very specific on what kind of information I'm looking for. And I'm always, thank God, looking for preventative versus, you know what, because after the math. Because it's always, if you know how you can prevent certain things and you have knowledge about it and you understand your body and you understand how you think and the relationship between your mind and body, you listen to your body. That's why it's really important that we know the connection between the mind and body. Because if you can't listen to what your body is telling you, a lot of time your body is telling you a lot of things that you should pay attention to, but we ignore it. So know what you're looking for, why you want it to, like, you know, why is that information so important to you, right? Is it because of fact, or is it because of something that you just made up? Or just because of somebody else told you that you believe? Giving you an example, like somebody will tell you, oh, stay tuned so I can tell you how many different ways you can get this whatever illness or disease, right? So now they're creating fear within you about something that doesn't even exist in your life. It doesn't mean that you probably never, ever will get that disease, but you don't have it. But now in your mind, you're going to think you might already have it. So you're looking for symptoms. And I'm telling you, when I used to be one of those people, like I'm guys, like I would listen to the news and I'm like, oh, my God, I got to check myself for this. I got to check. But you freak yourself out. That information overload, it actually harms you. Then actually, you know, help you, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that's absolutely what I think about all this measles vaccine talk that's going on right now. Because
what do you think about that? I don't want to make it political here, but I mean, seriously?
I had the measles when I was a kid. So, you know, I had the measles. I mean, it wasn't that bad. I actually had the measles when I was 6 years old. I had the measles the same year as I had the chicken pox. I had both. I'm absolutely healthy now. And I'm essentially immune for life from both of those illnesses. So, I mean, there's just so many. Yeah, I'm with you on the news, first of all, and this does bring us in with the conversation with the vaccines, because this, the fact that the news, the way that the news pitches or portrays health information is such a fatalist approach. And it's always like, this could happen to you. And of course, when we take a preventative approach, we also say this could happen to you if you don't do, you know, take these steps. However, I do agree with you. It's not always relevant to our life if it's not something that's already, that our body's already not warning us of. We don't have to be necessarily worried about getting every single cancer and about getting the measles, for instance, just because it's possible that some populations are susceptible to it. Because there's always going to be death, there's always going to be sickness, there's always going to be risks for things. And so we really do have to put all of those risks into perspective when we're thinking about our own choices and what is right for us and what is right for our family. Sure. Usually the risks are what the risks are setting us up for is a long way off into the future. It's not causing automatic death. It's not some fatalistic, you know, emergency situation. It's something that really needs to be worked out. And I, you know, I'm certainly not interested in getting too deep into the topic of whether, you know, working out whether your family should get vaccines, for instance. That's not what this show's about. However, that is a good example, because there's so many reasons to get vaccines, and there's so many reasons to delay vaccines, and there's so many reasons not to get vaccines for some people. And so it really matters. Doesn't matter about what the FDA said or how the news is sensationalizing certain populations that do or don't have the vaccines. I mean, the information that's being put out to us doesn't even make sense anyways. The fact that vaccinated kids.
I mean, they reported 100 cases of measles, but how many cases of autism there is because of vaccination?
Well, 60 kids a year die from rubella vaccination.
I know. I mean,
60 kids a year die from, regardless of autism. I mean, I firmly believe autism is caused by multiple things. Damage the brain, damage the neurological system. I certainly am not a person that points to vaccines primarily. However, there's absolute risks for vaccines, mostly because the suspension fluid in vaccines is not regulated. There's so many contaminants, there's so much debris, there's heavy metals, there's all these things, let alone what the actual virus is capable of doing it when it's injected directly into the bloodstream. So,
well, this is where you talk about the environmental trigger, you know, because that's something that people don't even think about too, you know, what's going on around you too. Like where you live, what kind of environment you live in, where, you know, I mean, all these things need to contribute, you know, and of course you add to it, you know, some of the other things. And like you said, we're really not, hopefully we're not here to talk about vaccine, because I don't want to get into a political, I try to stay out of that one, because I don't want to say, you know, hey, you know.
But it is timely. It is very timely. So
not an expert in this. I'm like any other person who try to process information, and to me it doesn't add up. So it makes no sense, you know, that we only focus on that small portion of you know, because of whatever, and then we don't, you know, think about like all the negative from the vaccination too. So
yeah, because even if there's 100 kids who have the measles, they're not dead. They're alive with the measles. Right. And a lot of people can actually have the measles and recover from it. Maybe not if they're in a developing country. Maybe not if they're malnourished already. Maybe not if they already have an immune condition. No. But most healthy kids are going to be able to recover from rubella, just like they're going to be able to recover from chickenpox, just like they're going to be able to recover from the flu. So
yeah, I had a chickenpox growing up. I mean, when I was a little girl. But I wanted to clear what I said in the beginning. I think I didn't hear you well. I did not have the measles. I had the measles shot. So we had, like, all the shots that were, you know, supposedly required for children. You know, thank God we came out okay, I would think. I had the chicken box, right? When I was a little girl. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, again, information is good. in the right place, in the right sense. I mean, I have a friend, you know, I don't want to mention, you know, background, but I mean, you know, professional experts in their work, and they are in the health, you know, industry, but yet he is, I think fear, like for him, like he's like, he think about like cancer as something like he fights, even when he doesn't have it. So like he's trying to prevent it in any way possible by like doing so many different things. And I'm like, okay, I appreciate that. But don't you think you over the top with certain things that you actually creating? You know, like, I mean, like he takes like about 65 different, you know, supplements every single day. Mm-hmm. You know, and then like he will list like, oh, I'm like, oh my God, I cannot even imagine taking that much, you know, not to mention if I want to even trust the source that, I mean, I'm not putting toxic in my body. You know what I mean? I mean, these things are not FDA approved. Doesn't mean like I really, you know, I don't want to get political about this one. But the bottom line is, I think information, you know, and the fear of certain illnesses and all stuff comes in the mind. So if you can train the mind, your own mind, to really get in touch with your body and listen to your body, I think you can really maintain good health, you know, or improve, you know, the health. You know, if your health is challenged a little bit, maybe the more you understand your body, and understand the cause of whatever is ailing you, the more you really, you know, more specific on the information that you're looking to get, you know, from a trusted sources, and then find what will work hopefully for you and how you can go towards, you know, complete health. Or, you know, again, the big issue, I think, you know, from your expertise in this country is overweight eating. We want something, we want it right now. I think we live in an age of not just information and technology. We live in an age that nobody has patience to really stop and think about when they eating. I mean, for me, I'll be honest with you, I do not like to be like yesterday. The one example, I was going to post that on Facebook, but then I thought it was silly. I'm like, people are not going to get it, right? I'm very like focus on my food. I love good food. I love the taste. I love the flavor. You see me probably, I know we friend on Facebook. I don't know if you see some of the stuff that I post, the food I make. I'm like passionate about like taste and colors and what I do with, you know, like natural and fresh and stuff, etc. But the thing, like, you know, when I have to do like, you know, business, so yesterday, for instance, I went out to a place really I like, and I love the food, and I know everything that they eat wild and organic and stuff like that. And I had a business lunch. When I was eating my lunch, I was not focusing on the food because I'm trying to pay attention to, first of all, what I'm saying, you know, because it was important, the dialogue, what's going on. And I was eating the shrimp, and I realized that, just give you, you know, small example, there was a little shell in the shrimp in the end, and I ended up eating it, and I didn't want to really want to eat it, but I didn't want to spit it out because it was not like, you know, as a cat kind of like to do that. But I'm telling you, if I was paying attention to my food, this would never have happened because I was, you know, because I'm cutting up my shrimp. It was, you know, large shrimp and stuff, and using my knife, but I wasn't paying attention. Do you follow what I'm saying? So this is your mind and your body are not, they disconnected at that time. And for me, it was. So I felt like, you know, I'm like almost choked up on this thing, but I still chewed it and ate it because I'm like, you know what, Ria, just chew it, get it over with, you know, and it's fine. Of course, you know, that's a good calcium, probably, right? The shell.
Yeah, exactly. The shells are one of the healthiest parts. You get your glucose and your sulfate.
I know. Yeah, but, you know, it's kind of hard to chew them and swallow them sometimes. But anyhow, so that was a story, you know. Not paying attention.
When I eat shrimp, I try to eat as much of the shell as I can. Sometimes I'll eat the whole shell with the shrimp, you know, every fourth or fifth one,
see,
just so I get that medicine.
Actually, if I'm eating like a, you know, like a steam, like, you know, like a almost like a shrimp cocktail or something like that, I don't know, for some reason it doesn't bother me. I'm okay with that because I steam it and it gets like really, you know, because when you grill, it was grilled shrimp. The shell was like a little bit hard, you know, versus like when it was steamed. The way I make it, you know, like if I make a shrimp cocktail, I steam it actually. Instead of, you know, dropping it in water or whatever, I just put it in my, you know, my bamboo steamer, you know, the thing.
Yeah.
And steam my shrimp that way. So that way, yeah, I think it's nice little crunch, but it's not so, you know. But it was just an example, like how some most of us, we do not pay attention to what we eat and how we eat. We want it now. We want it fast. Everything is on the go. Everything is processed. We want to fix dinner in 1-2, you know, second. I really appreciate, I grew up, you know, part Middle Eastern, and my family pride themselves, you know, Lebanese. They cook great food. Dishes are always like, you know, they complement flavor and you know, everything is in them, right? And you hear about Mediterranean, you know, diets and stuff like that because it's really healthy but it takes time. Like when I make stuff, and sometimes it's like, oh my God, it took me like 2.5 hours to like get this dish out, you know, just to prepare and make it. But you know what? The end result, my family loves it. I feel pride myself, like being like so involved in what we eat every single day. And I understand some people don't have the time. And that's why you gotta, there's so many steps. I mean, we are on a health program, health show here. I consider that, you know, but I just wanted to tell you, if you don't think about your health, you won't have health. You know, so you got to bring the mind into it. You got to bring about like, you know, okay, so I need to make something fast and I need to make something quick. What can I make something quick? Make, you know, like I think it's all about organizing yourself, right? So make a list of things that you can, you know, you can buy for the week that you can actually whip up quickly. I used to do like stir fry so fast. I mean, stir fry is a quick thing to make, right? And it doesn't involve a lot of time, but it's healthy and it's quick, you know. But again, you know, it depends on how you do. I don't do soy. I don't do, you know, so I use amino acid. I mean, you know, I use alternative things, you know, to kind of give me the flavor that I want, but not necessarily the things that are not so good for me.
Okay, so we touched on, you've touched on some different areas that I think are really important. And so one thing is that when we're trying to make a decision about ourselves for our own self, we really have to personalize it as much as possible. So we have to make it relevant to our own life and not just as reported on the news could affect any one of a million people. And then we have to be discriminatory about our sources of education. I'm with you, Ria. I do not listen to the news. I think the news is a bunch of lies. And just it's all agenda motivated. I mean, I love to learn information about what's going on in the news, but every time I'm listening to a news organization, all I can think about is which angle they're taking and what the outcome is that they're trying to convince me of, or why they're airing this news story over another equally important news story that they don't want you to hear about. You know, I'm always thinking about all these other you know, the fact that it's people who actually select which news stories to reveal, and it's corporations that fund it. So,
well, I mean, Brian William is a good example of, now it's a wake-up call for all people who listen and follow the news to make sure you trust the source of the information. Is it true? Ask that question. Is this true? How does it apply to me? I mean, I think these questions are so important. Because we just take whatever somebody told. I mean, it's like you see, like you can hear it in my voice. I get really upset about this. Because when we blindly trust information without, like, questioning it, it's, you know, I mean, I like the guy. I mean, I'm not talking about him. And, I, you know, again, you know, we like shifting gear here. But this is an example of news, false news, right? How many false news have you heard throughout your life, right? You don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, for me, it's like, I think that because nothing is absolutely true, everything is just a point of view. And
true.
So in order to, that's why we have to make decisions for ourselves and be really individual, because to me, it doesn't matter if the guy is, it doesn't really matter over in the long term whether this guy is lying about his life. I mean, it definitely doesn't speak well for him, but I'm not a judge of what's going to happen to him. So I don't listen to the news, so I don't care about what he's saying, but I'm just saying that whatever he's saying, whether it rings true with myself or whether it doesn't ring true with myself, is my own ultimate decision. It's not based on his credentials, because I don't think anything in the media is capital T true. Nothing. Everybody's just trying to make themselves look good.
Yeah, yeah, that's unfortunate, but you know, it's you know what they doing. That's what they get paid to do. But what happened here is you making that decision that is right for you. Make
right.
that decision whether to take that information to heart or believe it or not to believe it or whatever it is. It's really all up to you.
And the other point that I think that was important that we've covered so far is not to base our decisions out of fear of what could happen, of what could be out of the worst case scenario. So, for instance, when it comes, if it comes down to food and behavior with food, I don't recommend people cut out red meat because they're afraid of red meat, or that they cut out saturated fat because they're afraid of eating saturated fat, because there has to be more to a decision making and behavior modification than just basing our decisions out of fear. If we only act out of fear, one thing is we're taking enjoyment away from ourselves, and the other
mm-hmm.
thing is we're not really connecting to the decision making part of our brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very difficult to have that mind-body connection that you were talking about so eloquently when you were discussing eating the shrimp and then how you cook at home. And every single time you make food, you have an opportunity to choose something healthy for yourself, or you have the opportunity to choose something that's not healthy for yourself. And if you're only listening to the media reports and doing what they tell you to do, or doing what they say because you're too afraid to do what you really like, then you're never going to be able to really connect with your own mind body.
And what is life if you can't enjoy it? I mean, you know what I mean? I think, you know, sometimes if I want to eat that burger, I'm going to eat that burger and I'm going to enjoy it. Doesn't mean mm-hmm. I'm going to have that burger every single day. Doesn't mean I'm going to, you know what I mean? I mean, okay, so I love fries. So I substitute my fries with sweet potato fries that is baked versus, you know, fried, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I change option, but I'm making small changes, but you know what? They are healthier changes. You got to ask the why. Why are you afraid of whatever it is, right? Why? How does this influence you? How does it affect you? And then what if you got whatever it is? What if?
I think that's a really important question. I like that you brought that up. That's not something that I generally think about, but what are some consequences of the what ifs? Like how do you use that question to help guide your clients?
Well, I mean, again, it's all questions. I think everybody has the answer, but they've never been asked the question, right? The proper question. So this is how I coach. This is how I train. You know, even coaches that I train. You know, I always say ask the right question. So when somebody comes to you because of whatever issue, right? So you discuss a specific issue. So let's say they have an eating problem, right? They've been struggling with their health and their weight, and they got diabetes because of their weight, and they got blah, blah, blah because of their weight, whatever. And I am not a health coach, okay? But I am a coach that understands the mind. I have a lot of certification that qualify me to actually teach you about cognitive behavior and cognitive therapy, you know, how you can change how you think, by literally just stating what's going on right now concerning that issue. So let's take your health, you know, your food, right? You have an issue with food. Okay, so what trigger those things to come out? Like, does it, like, you know, you some people, they're emotional eater, right? So like they got upset with somebody or whatever, what they do, they turn to food, because food is comfort. So you ask the question, so what if you can't do that? So let's say you can't have the food that you want, right? Because that's the only thing that you said that's going to help you. What else would help you? Maybe dealing with the issue? itself, which is the cause of the emotional eating, which is whatever it is that was causing the problem to begin with. Maybe it's the relationship, maybe it's the work issue, the whatever. You dig in. You ask a lot of questions until you dig in and find out the cause of the actual problem. And then, you know, okay, you help them set, you know, those stages to get them to recognize that, to recognize where they are and to recognize those steps that they really need to, you know, like you almost draw a map to them. I mean, one of the things that I do, it's teaching that I've learned throughout the years. Like, I always try to bring somebody to look at themselves and their life from the outside. Like, you're looking at a painting, okay, and then trying to picture that painting. Close your eyes and look in your mind, right? So you're trying to look at that painting in your mind, and you, this is your life, and you try to see what's going on in that life, and you know I ask you different questions and stuff like that, and you try to be a little bit more specific about your location, what's going on, and bring awareness. The awareness is really the first thing is to really bring yourself back to this present moment and ask yourself, what is really going on right now? Why is this happening? What do I want? And you know, like just like a question after question till you try to find, you know, I mean, again, I'm being very general here. But, you know, you give me an example. I can tell you, I can walk you through the process if you like. But it's really important to bring ourselves back to, you know, to our own what we think, what we believe, and how so. So, like, let's say, you know, well, I was told never walk outside with wet socks, right? Because you walk outside with wet socks in the cold, you're going to catch cold. So who said that? Is that information valid, right? Does it really, every time you walk outside with wet socks, you're going to catch a cold? People, for the longest time, you know that, for the longest time.
Yeah, if you sit on cold snow, cold stone, you're going to get hemorrhoids.
Sick because of the weather. It's not that. It's not the cold air that gets you sick.
If you eat fat, you're going to get fat. So then, therefore, everybody's eating sugar and they're getting even fatter.
Right.
Yeah. So I know what you're saying. You're saying that you try to identify people's core beliefs, their fundamental reason for why they're making decisions without even being aware that they're making these decisions. To kind of it's like they're compensating for another belief that they have by making these other decisions that are actually worse for them.
Yeah, I mean, because that's how we've been trained. Like, you know, we've been trained to think in a certain way. We've been trained to behave in a certain way until we break out of that model that somebody else had created for us. We are living somebody else's life, basically, in our own body. So you got to live your own your own decision, on your own thinking, on your own body and your own way of doing things, your actions, own it. Take responsibility for it and just say, you know what? I ate that burger because I wanted to eat that burger. You know what I mean? Because I enjoyed eating that burger. I like eating that burger. Not because somebody told me, oh, it's okay to eat a burger once a week or eat a burger like once a month. You know what I mean?
Like 10 years ago, or I think it was probably 10 years ago, or maybe 15 or 20, I don't know, it was Oprah, during Oprah's kind of heyday, it was very big to kind of discuss about living one's authentic life and being, you know, living in authenticity and living in the moment. And that was kind of more like new age or pop psychology. But I think that, and it was like an easy way to digest or understand that, just like what you're saying, that really so much of the time we're kind of on autopilot, just reliving what our parents told us or what society has pushed upon us without ever really challenging those statements or the reality of those statements and the effect that us perpetuating those kind of false realities are actually having on us and our decisions on a daily basis.
Yeah. That is so true. I mean, and you know what? I mean, unless we really break out of this and decide for ourselves that, you know, enough is enough. I'm not a robot. I'm a human being. I have my faults. I have my, you know, but you know what? I have a great mind. And I, you know, intentionally, I live with intention. I think intention is really important. It's like setting goals for yourself. What are your intentions? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want out of life? What is so important to you? I don't think if you ask anybody, I have to tell you, for as long as I've been in professional development, when I ask that question, what do you want? Nobody gives me a specific thing. Nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
It's a hard question.
Because
it
then
is a hard
this
question.
Is what they,
yeah.
Like, example, I want a lot of money. I want to be healthy. I want to be less, you know, slim. I want to be this. What do you really want? This is just, you know what I mean? It's so general. You got to be so specific, and you got to know why you want it. Why do you want it? And then you also got to know, what would it do for you when you do have it? How would your life change? And when you understand those, you know what I mean? Like, you understand, like, where you are right now, where you want to go, and what would happen when you get it? What would it look like? Are you going to be healthy? Are you going to be 20 pounds, slimmer? Are you going to be, you know, what is the result? What is the end result? You got to know from the beginning to end. And you're going to be willing, again, that's where the responsibility to get, because there is no shortcut. I don't believe in shortcuts. I paid my dues to get where I am right now in life. I got my master's degrees. English wasn't even my second language. I was specific. I know what I wanted. Am I, like, such an amazing person? No. I'm somebody who learned exactly, you know, the steps and understand where they want and where they are and how they can get there. So it's the same process. It's really not complicated. It's just our willingness to take those steps and our willingness to say, you know what? What am I telling myself? I mean, this is another thing with NLP, right? It's neuro-linguistic programming. It's like all these things that are going on in your head. What are you telling yourself? Dr. Melly, if you think about it this way, you have a lot of programs in your mind, right, in your head. Programs meaning, like, you know, beliefs, anything, like, you, this is what you behave, like, who you are. It's the person who you are, how you talk, what your behavior is, how you speak, how you eat, all these behaviors and all these programs are something that is built from environments, your family, your inherited things, and you go to school and you add to them, and then you hear the news and you add to them, and you just keep adding and adding and adding. Unless you start questioning some of these programs and realize that if these programs are actually working for you versus actually taking you backwards or actually being toxic to you, you're just not going to – change is not going to happen in your life. So you got to think about that. You got to think about, like, you know, can I get rid of this program? Think about a computer. You know, you have a computer that's been running on old programs, and some of these programs start to crash your computer. What would you do with them? You delete them, right?
Yeah. What you're saying is very inspirational. So I hope everybody at home is really enjoying what you're hearing, where I'm interviewing Coach Rhea Wilk. She's the founder, CEO, and president of At Your Life Now, a professional coaching and training company. And we're talking today about behavior change and how it is that we come to recognize our own choice and our own role in the decisions that we're making. And it can be very confusing even to get to the first question, which is, what do I want? But then when you add the extra layers of what that change is going to bring me and how I'm going to get there, and then it can become even more confusing. But those are absolutely essential questions to ask. For instance, in my Eating for Meaning program, I have people identify what they think, what their thoughts are when they're eating, when they're sitting down to a meal, when they're chewing the food. So much of the time, people who have disordered eating actually have self-hating, self-loathing thoughts when they're sitting down to a meal, which is absolutely the time where you really should be enjoying it. And one reason is because there's no connection to the food itself. The person hasn't spent a whole lot of time with their hands and preparing the food in a loving way. And another reason is because oftentimes they're just trying to finish the food as fast as possible and forget that they ever did it. So, for instance, in my practice, I have people who have eating disorders and behavior eating problems and disordered eating problems. And so, for instance, I have this one, she's a closet eater, and she wants her goal to be that she loses 20 pounds. She's honestly not even that overweight, but she does have a binge eating problem. And so I asked her, like, what would you do once you lose your 20 pounds? And she's like, oh, well, to be honest with you, if I actually lost the 20 pounds, I still wouldn't be happy in my body because I would still have these beliefs that I'm ugly, because it comes down to the, you know, to the fact how her dad treated her when she was 4 years old. And her goal of wanting to lose 20 pounds and my goal as her naturopathic doctor, as her nutritionist, my goal for her is to be able to eat everything that she eats in public without actually having to closet it or hide it or eat it in, you know, when nobody's around or nobody's looking. And so we do have to understand the process of behavior change for ourselves and why some of our goals are not actually really the goal. They're just kind of a stand-in for what our kind of romantic vision of, but that's not really the reality of the problem, or that's not really the answer to the problem. So we are going to go to a break, and I am enjoying this conversation so much. And when we come back, we're going to keep talking about other philosophies, other thoughts that Coach Rhea has on behavior change. We're going to keep discussing it. This is Eating for Meaning. If you like what you're hearing, please do follow along at blogtalkradio.com. This is Eating for Meaning, and here we go. Join me back. Dr. Millie, your host.
Are you single and ready for an extraordinary relationship? This is Jill Crosby, owner of SpiritualSingles.com, the largest exclusively conscious dating site online. We provide conscious, spiritually evolved singles an easy, fun, effective venue to meet other like-hearted spiritual singles. Join for free today and meet your soulmate, twin flame, poly partners, and or friends on SpiritualSingles.com. That's SpiritualSingles.com.
She wants to know where the relationship is going. He didn't know it was going anywhere. Having an awareness of our differences can make or break a relationship. As men and women, we have no problem falling in love. The problem is staying in love. Janice Hoffman gives men and women easy-to-use tools to keep the passion alive in their relationship. The former training director for Mars Venus Institute, Janice Hoffman trained over 550 Mars Venus facilitators and counselors and developed curriculum for the Mars Venus workshops. Today, she is the award-winning author of Relationship Rules, 12 Strategies for Creating a Love That Lasts. Don't do more in your relationship. Do what you already do differently. Let Janice Hoffman teach you the skills to keep the passion alive. Get the passion back with Relationship Rules. Visit JaniceHoffman.com today and get your own autographed copy of Relationship Rules.
All right, and welcome back to the show. This is Dr. Millie. This is the Eating for Meaning show on Blog Talk Radio, broadcasting to you live from my clinic in Brooklyn at 903 Franklin Avenue. It's called Mountain, and we have an amazing health food, healing food restaurant in the front called Apothecary Kitchen. So I welcome you to come on down and try our food out. And today I've got the inspirational Rhea Wilk. She's a coach. She's otherwise known as Coach Rhea, and she's the CEO, founder, president at Your Life Now LLC, which is a professional coaching and training company. And we're talking today about behavior change and something that you were elucidating before the break, Rhea, was that you were saying that you don't believe in shortcuts and you believe in, you know, people have to go through the steps to ask themselves the questions and answer the questions. And that did bring something to my mind because especially in, nutrition counseling, nutrition coaching, there's all these like 3-week diets or 3-week sugar fast or 3-week detox or elimination diets. And I recommend these as well, but I recommend them as part of like a bigger, longer, year-long program. But what I wanted to talk about was that just like in dancing, they say if you repeat something with your body enough times, then your mind doesn't have to think about it because your body just remembers a step. You get body memory. And so I wanted to ask you about how you think that kind of mindless, it's almost like mindless, but just routine.
Your subconscious, right.
Yeah, habit changes, just changing your habits, how that factors into long-term or behavior change.
Well, subconscious is obedient. You know, your subconscious mind is obedient. It's what you tell it. But what you tell it is really based on what you, again, the programs that you have already, and the self-talk, what you tell yourself. That's the stuff that is just constantly feeding, right? The subconscious mind. So the subconscious mind takes that stuff and acts on it, right? And that becomes our behavior, our action, or whatever we do. That's how it works. But, you know, before the break, I just wanted to bring this one up because I'm sure, you know, when you help your clients, you probably, I don't know if you do or not, journaling. So here's a really good tip, I think. You know, again, these are suggestions. Doesn't mean they, you know, whatever. You could always contact me separately and ask me how this worked for you. But the thing is, when you don't know what you want, right? And the simple way to actually find out what you want. So let's take an example. You know, like you're not happy about something. And let's take the example of food, right? So you're sitting down at your table and then you have the food in front of you. Now you have to be conscious. So you got to maybe write down what you ate, what you're about to eat. So I'm going to have a piece of salmon. I'm going to have a piece of chicken, whatever it is that you're going to eat, or just salad or whatever you're eating. Dressing, all the specification. Again, if it's involving food, your health, diet, whatever it is, eating, you know, issue, whatever it is, you need to do this exercise or this, you know, or I think you should, let's put it that way. So ask yourself, like, how does this food make me feel after you eat it? So you eat it, you report to yourself, well, you know, today I ate a piece of salmon that was farm raised, which I'm like, totally against anything that is farm raised, and it just didn't digest it good. And then I start feeling bloated, or I felt whatever. Write those symptoms down, right? So now, when it comes to like preparing food, now this is assuming that you purchased that salmon and you cooked it, right? So now, when it comes to purchase, like what do I want? Like what do I want my food to be? Like what do I want to feed my family? What is my goal when it comes to food? You find out what you're doing right now. That's how you're going to start, you know, like coming up to the answer, if that makes any sense. So you take what you're doing right now. So what kind of food do you eat on a daily basis? So take one average day and make sure you write everything down. And then also write the result. How did you feel? How did that make me feel? Well, I felt wonderful. Okay, so you didn't have any. Most people have digestive problem. We know, like, they sell. It's a huge industry, right? The antacid and all that crap about probiotic and all the stuff because of our diet. We can get all the stuff in our food, but we choose different things, so we have to take supplements to adjust these things. But if you understand what you're doing, you can find out exactly what you need to do to change it. So the what I want becomes easier because now you know, you have your research, you know exactly what you're doing right now and what you need to do differently. So if it's working for you, can it be better? I think there's always room for improvement. If I add maybe a little broccoli, can if I add this, whatever, how would that, you know, work? Can it work better for me? If I take the bread out with the wheat, the gluten, you know, some of these things that really takes a basic awareness, like I mentioned before. And the more you're aware, the more you ask the questions, the more you find out, you know, you're going to actually get to the what I want. And the result is success because now you're like, okay, I know what I want. And based on what I've been researching, this is what I need to do to get it. So you need the to find out exactly what's going on right now. You need to bring your awareness to it. You need to find the tools that's going to help you achieve, you know, that goal that you want for yourself, the what you want, and then the change starts to occur. And now you start feeling differently. So now you want to keep back and reporting to yourself. It's like, okay, because I did this. So now you have a check mark that you can reference to when you do your research, right? So like anybody who does, you know, you have, you know, when you did your doctorate, did you have to do, you know, a research paper? I'm sure you did, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then again, your information is going to be based on a lot of different things. But when it comes to you specifically, and here we're talking about you specifically, only you is expert in you. I can't tell you any better than this because if somebody else tell you they're expert in you, they are lying to you. You know yourself better, you know what's going on with you, and you know what you need to do to get there. But those tools, the help, it's where Dr. Melly comes in, where somebody like myself comes in, or any other resources that you know you can trust that would help you in the steps to achieve what you want. That makes sense?
Yeah, journaling is absolutely so important. And so in the first month of my year-long program, that's all I'm having people doing is writing down what they're eating, seeing how they feel, journaling how they feel, journaling what it is that they're eating. And you go step by step from just non-judging your diet, what you eat. Mm-hmm. So some people have a hard time even facing what it is that they eat. So sure, I can face my farm salmon and broccoli dinner with, you know, some lemon or hollandaise sauce or something. I can face that. It's not perfect, but I can face it. But then can they face the two rows of cookies that they ate 2 hours later? Or, you know, they might not write that down, or they might not write down, you know, the three or four glasses of wine, or they might never write down that they had one glass of wine instead of four. So the first stage is always, like, in a non-judging way, just identifying and trying to look at it in an honest way what your actual behaviors are, because only then can somebody who's trying to help you with the intervention actually be working from a realistic standpoint and really help you, you know, see what's going on that's not right, why you might be having the cravings for four glasses of wine, or why you might be having the cravings for two rows of cookies, and why you're not satisfied. And so, because I think oftentimes what people don't realize is that it's not all about willpower. It's not all about our depression and our anxiety. It's also about the response that our body has on food. And that's biochemical, because we're all just as much biochemical as we are spiritual, as we are, you know, biological. So it's also, it actually, by doing it this way, I feel like it takes a lot of pressure off of an individual to, yes, they're responsible for what they're eating, but no, it's not always their fault that they've been eating the way that they have, because they weren't, you know, taught how to do it differently, and they've just been responding based on out of fear, or what they think that they should be doing, or what their mother does, or what their sister does, or what their neighbor who got skinny was. And people's goals are, oh, I want to be thin. And if you go to Weight Watchers, well, Weight Watchers is a very successful organization. But they don't, they help you lose weight, but they don't help you lose weight in a healthy way necessarily. I mean, you have to eat regularly, but you don't have to eat real food. You can eat chemicals, and you can eat, you know, stuff that's still going to give you cancer. And so you're right. Getting specific on goals is really important.
You know something, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you just said something about, you know, eating, you know, chemicals and stuff like that. Actually, some people, even though that they know that it's going to cause them a problem, but it can give them that immediate result that they're looking for, they are willing to take that risk. Isn't that wild? You know what that is? That's self-sabotaging. That's because you don't believe that you deserve, you know. You know what I mean? It's just like, for right now, it's working. That's why I hear people telling me, well, right now it's working. I'm not going to worry about, like, what's going to happen in the future. But if you don't worry about what you're doing right now, you might not have a future. Do you follow what I'm saying? I mean, I think that it's so important to know thyself. You need to know yourself. You need to know your body, and you need to understand how your body works, not somebody else's body. Because
that's true.
Even though
the individual diet
body,
is really the only diet that really matters.
I mean,
and,
you know, Dr. What's his name? Oh, my God. You know him. You love him, too. Bruce Lipton. I mean, you know, we shed a lot about, you know, like a gene and our biology, like a lot of, you know, a lot of it is like the basic
Bruce
stuff. Like all, but we are all individual. We are so individual. Each one of us are individual. So know your body. Know what works for you, what doesn't work for you. Understand the specific.
It's a process to get there.
Really
it takes
effort.
Time. It takes a lot of time.
Yeah. But you have to be want to. I mean, this is again. It's all behavior things. It's all how you think. It's all your program, your self talk. Do you believe you deserve to live a healthy life? Do you believe, you know, healthy life is just about the weight? If you think that, then you really don't know much, because it's not about that 20 pound that you said your client and you didn't think she needed to lose the weight, but she wanted to lose the 20 pounds or whatever. Maybe if it's just like understanding where, you know, what is the real issue, like her with, you know, why she thinks like she needs to lose that 20 pounds, you know, it's dealing again with the cause versus the symptoms of things. It really, and realize that it's not your fault. It really is not your fault. It's never your fault, but you got to take 100% responsibility. That's my motto. it's not your fault, but you got to take 100% responsibility. You can't say, well,
yeah.
you know, it's all I blame it on my mother. I blame it on my father. It's because of the gene. Because
they can't
this.
Help you now. They can't help you now.
They can't. And that's you become victim. And you become a victim, basically.
And so now it sounds like we're talking about the stages of change model, the model which was
behavioral change.
Yeah, James Prochaska and DeClemente, they were studying when people were quitting smoking, and they talked about how in order to make change, the three most important elements are in changing behavior are the readiness to change. Because if somebody's not ready, if somebody doesn't think that what they're doing is wrong for them or
not
bad for them, and as a coach, you're wasting your time trying to help that person because you might be able to help them with something, but not with that because you can't convince anybody else.
Yeah, no. I mean, there's really steps. And again, you got to know, you got to understand, what's going on right now. You got to want to. I used to smoke. I mean, I grew up in Europe. When I came in here 17 years old, I used to smoke Jutan, which was a French cigarette that was unfiltered. I smoked back then, but I quit. And I didn't quit with the use of anything. You know how I quit? I used my mind. The same philosophy that makes me pick up that cigarette, and people are going to say, oh, my God, it's so easy, Seth. It's really easy. It's really that easy. If you understand, you know, okay, so why do you want to quit smoking? You got to have a reason, right? Well, you know, I want to be able to walk up that stairs and not run out of my breath, right? I want to be able to swim and not run out of breath. I want to be able to jog or do things like that is actually going to help me breathe better. So that was my goal. The second thing was like I just met my husband at that time, and I wanted to like hate and smoke, and we wanted to have a smoke-free, you know, environment. That was another reason for me that I wanted to quit, but I desired it first. And then you got to tell yourself, I can, because without that I can, you cannot go further to the next thing, which is like really feeling, you know, like optimistic about it and just say, you know what, I'm going for it, you know what, and I'm going to pay attention to everything that is actually going to support my desire. Not listening to other people telling you how many different ways that they couldn't quit smoking, or listen to commercials trying to sell you on nicotine patch and crap that can actually cause more problems down the road than, you know, you using a great, powerful source and tool, which is your mind. And it's just basic behavior. So you keep yourself optimistic. You create a really positive self-talk. Search for positive self-talk that related to how to uplift you, to make you think that you can do anything. And then keep doing it. You know what they say, practice makes you expert. And then, like, join other people who are successful or have succeeded, or learn from people who have done it in a similar manner so they can uplift you, they can support you, get the help if you need it. You know, from professional, without using other things that can harm you in the long run, you know, something that actually can be really good for you. And then keep reinforcing it. And you know what they say, 21 days it takes to change a behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So if you keep at it, you will be able to do it. I know I did it. I mean, I'm really, honestly, I swear to God, that's how I did it when I quit smoking. And most people, they think like, you know, quitting alcohol or smoking, whatever your addiction is. It's so difficult. You know why is it so difficult? Because your mind is not, you know, is resistant to change.
Yeah. And so you've basically gone through all of the elements of change just through your story, because first of all, you were ready to change for yourself. You made a decision for yourself that you really wanted to quit smoking. Then you found a man who also aligned with your own principles. You both wanted to have a smoke-free environment. So then you actually had, you created like a reward situation for yourself by quitting smoking, that you're going to get this lovely man, and then you removed barriers to change. So anything in your mind that was preventing you from changing, you broke those down and you changed your mind about them. And then a lot of people don't expect relapse. A lot of people expect perfection. So after that 21 days, that's the biochemical, the physiological dependence time that it takes to break any cycle, whether it's crack, whether it's sugar, whether it's smoking, whether it's fingernail biting, whatever it is, the 21-day cycle that it actually takes the mind and the body to connect together and to re-change that biochemical role. But a lot of people don't expect relapse afterwards, and they surround them, they continue to surround themselves with triggering people or triggering environments.
Right.
Or they put themselves back in that same position without any
kind of
support
strategy. So you know what they do? They go
strategy.
In a circle. They go in a circle, Dr. Mally. They go back to the starting point. That's where they started.
Or they put themselves back into the environment, which gives them the excuse to go back to that same behavior. When really what we should do is we should expect to relapse and develop new coping mechanisms to get us out of that situation again, because we've already done the work to change.
I mean, it sounds simple, but the truth is it is simple. But it's steps. It's a process. You got to follow the process. You got to recognize what's going on. You got to hold yourself accountable and just say, you know what? I'm ready. I desire change. I want this because this is how it's going to help me. You have to have a reason. Remember I told you about the what and why? So know what you want. You know, whether you want to quit smoking, you want to have, you know, whether you want to eat healthy or you want to lose the weight because whatever your relationship with food, you want to change that because you desire a better outcome. So what is that outcome will do for you? I mean, for me, I felt was great. You know, I was actually rewarding myself every time. And I wasn't at that time really, you know, I mean, I wasn't at that level of with psychology and behavior or teaching and all this stuff. But I was still a little conscious of my action. And I was asking myself, oh, my God, I really feel good. And I was searching, like, for supplements that could help me, like, you know, like maybe, you know. And I was young enough that I can actually start to, you know, to offset some of the damage that I probably have done back then, right? But I literally, you could reverse anything. I mean, I know there's a study, but we don't allow it. You know why? Because the mind block it. There is actually an opportunity, and you know that as a doctor, and you understand that, you know, actually the body have the ability to even regenerate an actual part of your body if you allow it, but we don't. So the healing, the restoration of the body, you know, to its original, you know, complete, you were born whole and complete, unless obviously if someone, you know, unfortunately was born with any birth defects or whatever it is, from birth. But if you were born healthy, I think you owe it to yourself to maintain that health by really just bringing yourself back to your, you know, to the same thing.
We may all have different health potential depending on how we were born, the health of our parents, illnesses we've suffered. But we always have the ability to improve on our health, or we have the ability to also sabotage our health. I mean, we all have that ability, and every single day of our life, we have the ability to change, we have the ability to make small change, or we have the ability to make rapid change. And then we also have the ability to remain the same, to move backwards, to not care, and to ignore our aspect and our true purpose as well. So... which hopefully most people listening to the show are not interested in that.
Well, you know what? I mean, I think there's a lot of information that we shared, and I think there's a lot of valid information. You can look it up and ask yourself in your own life. I mean, all you have to do is just ask yourself, how can this apply to me? And I can guarantee you're going to find places where this applies to you. We all deal. Life constantly throws things at us, okay? Our position in life to really live life, okay? Not like, you know, be somewhere else. You are here on this planet Earth, and right now you gotta, you know, deal with this, like I would say, you know? It could be whatever is in the future or second life or past life, whatever some people believe, it doesn't matter. What you really matter is right now. What are you doing? What is your life like? What you want your life to be? Because if you cannot bring yourself to right now, I am sorry. I just think, you know, the progress, you know, it's going to be like relapse. You're going to go back to where you started because you cannot see it through. You cannot see it through and you don't believe it. You don't believe the end result. Does that make any sense? You know what they say? If you focus enough, I can like name tons of authors that I've read like throughout the years, that these people like 19, Charles Honnold. Have you ever heard of Charles Honnold? He wrote the Master Key System, and basically it's all about, like, you know, our subconscious mind and how, you know, stored information and how based on that information are really who we are, right? They say you are who you think, and, you know, then people say you are what you eat, but what you eat is what based on what you think, trust me. So it's always connected. So he always tells you, if you focus enough, if you stay focused enough on one thing that you want and you remain with it, you stay with it till it becomes exactly, you can see it through. You can just say, you know what? I can literally, like that example I told you about the painting that you're looking at, your life, you can literally see exactly what your life will look like because you had something to do with it. You made it what it is. You take in full responsibility and voila, the masterpiece had been created. Is it on a, out of this, you know, world to believe that could happen? No. It's really up to your mind. So how much your mind is limiting you, it's up to you.
Yeah, we can't always control everything that happens to us, but we can always control how we think about it and how we choose to dwell on it or turn a negative into a positive.
Yeah, no, I actually think we do have a lot more control than we give ourselves a credit for what happened. Even the things that events that happen outside of us, we literally, it's really about, you know, I mean, I don't want to get into the law of attraction because the law of attraction does exist whether we believe it or not.
Yeah.
But the law of attraction is happening in the background. That's your subconscious mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're constantly receiving information. You constantly, you know, whatever messages that you just keep adding, all of a sudden you find yourself, I'm out of control. I cannot control my life. How many of your clients you have met that it comes to you as like, I really cannot control this. I can't. They don't believe it. But you know what? Actually, they have more control than they think they do. And if they can just change how they think about it, and get rid of some of these, you know, and tune into different channels, you know, whatever they put in out there, expect what they're getting back. When I think about, like, that burger is going to be really toxic to me, my body, that meat, that dark meat, guess what? That meat is not going to be digested in my body. And, you know that. How long does it take for that for us to digest a piece of steak or a piece of burger, I mean, you know, of a meat? It takes a long time. But actually, if we spend so much energy, because remember, it's all energy. How much, you know, do you need to burn that, you know, the steak? If I'm believing, like, you know, my body is taking so much effort to try to think about, like, all the negative things that can happen from me eating that burger, it's going to take me a lot longer to get rid of that burger.
Yeah, I know. I'm pro burger and pro meat, so I'm the wrong girl. As long as you've got the good bacteria in your digestion, it's all good.
You know what?
And you actually want digestion to be slower, not faster, especially in the sugar age. Our digestion's going haywire with fast and tough, fast digestion.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm actually, I don't consider myself skinny, and I don't think I consider myself overweight, but I consider myself to be healthy weight. I'm happy with my body, and I could be better. We always could be better, right? And I always try to invent things and change things to make it better. And I, like, now I'm really on the wheat free kind of diet crap. I don't see, again, information. There is so much crap out there about gluten free that people don't understand that gluten free is only one isolated protein. And the substitute stuff that you see on the market right now, it's actually worse. Do you know Dr. Davis? Have you heard of him? Dr. Davis, I think his last name.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, he wrote the belly, the wheat belly or something, I think.
The wheat belly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the wheat belly. I was listening to one, he was on a public television the other day, a couple of weeks ago, and I, like, sort of, like, you know, stumbled over him, and I'm like, you know, so I was glued, you know, to listen to him again because I question everything too. And he made a lot of sense, but then he was showing you what they were using as a substitute. So commercial, again, information is constantly getting thrown at you. So when you go and you know people are now on that trend in gluten-free stuff, right? I want to go gluten-free. So it's not really just the gluten. It's the source of the stuff that you're substituting too. So he was, you know, what are you using? Tapioca as a substitute, they're using whatever, all the stuff. He said, this is actually, these ingredients are worse carbohydrates than some of the gluten's that are actually found in the wheat. He's saying he doesn't, of course, he's so against wheat, you know, in general, because he was saying how, you know, which is true. I mean, I grew up eating baguettes, breads all the time. But we never had a problem. I've never had a problem with, you know, with bread because the again, you know, I think the flour, the way it was raised, all the stuff, the wheat was growing differently. I mean, he was showing that the wheat used to be whatever inches, and now it's like 10 and 18 inches long. It's like
wheat is one of those foods that's fairly poorly treated. It's highly treated with pesticides, and the wheat itself has been engineered to have more gluten than it used to. So wheat does not resemble how it did two generations ago, and so that can be a reason for what there's a few different reasons for why people can't tolerate wheat. But the key to grains, choosing grains to have grains and which grains to have, is about not about the marketing of it. It's about reading the ingredients to see if there's healthy alternatives in there. So we have to all start to read ingredients labels so that we know exactly what is in the food that we're eating, not just that it's some kind of healthy fad, because so many food companies are trying to make money off of every fad out there. And as a member of the public consumer, we have to look past the marketing and actually to the white label that tells us what food is in there so that we know what we're putting into our body. It's much more important to know what we're putting into our body than what we're not putting into our body. And so very, very big subject. But thank you so much, Coach Rhea, for all your insight. And I think you've given people who are listening so much material for epiphanies, and I'm sure many people are ready to have improved their readiness to change and are ready to make changes right now. Sometimes an epiphany is all it takes to improve one's awareness and make a snap decision. And then for the rest of us, it takes a lifetime to work on the changes that we want to make for ourselves. And however we can go about it, all different personalities, all different temperaments, all different goals, it's all worthwhile. And so I think that it is the key to successful change, is knowing how to change our behavior and to tune in with ourselves and what we want, as you pointed out.
Know thyself, know yourself, know yourself. That's all you really, your first priority is to know yourself really well. Understand who you are, what you're made of, what makes you happy, what doesn't make you happy, how you feel about certain things. And some of the things could be really easily accomplished by writing things down.
Yeah, journaling is very important. I agree with you.
Yes.
And so tell everybody at home how they can reach you, and the best way to reach you, and the best way to get your information to listen to your show.
Well, you know, of course, they can do all the above by going to yourlifenow.info, and our shows are all posted there. Our contacts, you know, how you contact us, submit anything that, you know, any questions or anything like that. I created a group. Actually, I'm going to try to make it public now. On Facebook specifically for the show, for people to ask questions, and I really want to get people involved in really getting involved in their life and asking the right question that really belong to them, not to somebody else. Like, how does that affect me? What makes me feel like this? And really get involved. And, you know, if you want to, you know, schedule anything, again, either go to the website or just go to my online calendar, meetme.so/Coach Rhea. And send me, pick a time that works for you, and you will be able to have 15 minutes free consultation with me if that works for you.
All right. That's a great deal. And so, again, your website is yourlifenow.info, and your email is info@coachingbyrhea, that's R-E-A, .com. And I want to thank you ever so much for joining me on the show today.
Oh,
Coach,
my
Rhea.
Pleasure.
My pleasure.
What an honor. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much.
Take care.
And so we're going to go for a break here on Eating for Meaning, and join me back. We've got a few minutes to wrap up when we come back after the break. Here we go. This is Dr. Millie for Eating for Meaning.
She wants to know where the relationship is going. He didn't know it was going anywhere. Having an awareness of our differences can make or break a relationship. As men and women, we have no problem falling in love. The problem is staying in love. Janice Hoffman gives men and women easy-to-use tools to keep the passion alive in their relationship. The former training director for Mars Venus Institute, Janice Hoffman trained over 550 Mars Venus facilitators and counselors and developed curriculum for the Mars Venus workshops. Today, she is the award-winning author of Relationship Rules, 12 Strategies for Creating a Love That Lasts. Don't do more in your relationship. Do what you already do differently. Let Janice Hoffman teach you the skills to keep the passion alive. Get the passion back with Relationship Rules. Visit JaniceHoffman.com today and get your own autographed copy of Relationship Rules.
Are you single and ready for an extraordinary relationship? This is Jill Crosby, owner of SpiritualSingles.com, the largest exclusively conscious dating site online. We provide conscious, spiritually evolved singles an easy, fun, effective venue to meet other like-hearted spiritual singles. Join for free today and meet your soulmate, twin flame, poly partners, and or friends on SpiritualSingles.com. That's SpiritualSingles.com.
All right, and welcome back. And this is Dr. Millie. I'm the host of Eating for Meaning. And Eating for Meaning is a year-long nutrition program designed to help you change your relationship to food. It's anti-aging. It prevents and reverses chronic illness because you can do this once you become aware of your own individual nutrition needs and how you should be eating. And just as we've been discussing on this show, how to change our behavior has a lot to do with how to improve our health, because it's only once we've really identified how it is we eat, why we eat, and how we can make new goals and set new priorities based on a healthier mindset and come to know how the food that we're eating right now is affecting us, that we can start to make those changes that introduces new foods that don't affect us in that way. And once you start to feel better, once you start to embody change and see results that making even small changes has on your overall health and your energy level and your degree of bloating and what you think about your food and your self-perception of your food, then it's easy. Then it becomes easy to make changes. Then it becomes easy because your body is actually then telling your mind what to do, and it's not all about over-focusing or hyper-focusing on what everybody else is saying. And some people believe that having a health coach, and I see the coachery is still on, so maybe I'll take advantage of her for these last few minutes, is that some people think that having a health coach is the key to behavior. Now, this is the new, let's say, theory on how one changes behavior. What do you think about that, Coach Rhea?
Health coaches are key? That's the tool. Yeah, I mean, that's the tool part, right? So, you know, you know where you are right now. You're ready. You desire change. And now you look for help, right? So what's going to help you get to that goal, right? So that's the tools, yeah.
And so how important do you think in this kind of society, I mean, here we are in New York, we're all craving time, we're all craving maybe connection with other humans. Do you think that aspect, the human one-on-one aspect is, and maybe because it puts things in a more positive light than going to see a therapist, do you think that becomes more important in this day and age than maybe it was in the past?
Absolutely. 100%, 110%, yes. Because, you know, we actually really all, you know, hungry for that human connection, for the right human connection. And when you have a partner, because your coach, you know, is your partner, somebody, we're not going to tell you yes so you can hear the yes. Somebody will help you, you know, recognize what's going on, help you prioritize things, help you achieve whatever it is that you want, and hold you accountable along the way. So, you know, people who, I mean, like now I know, like Weight Watcher, I noticed that they picking on the concept of coach. Did you see their latest commercial?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I pay attention to these things is because they find it how really very effective. So what their model is, they're changing the model now. They take in some of these previous clients, some of them, that they had actually lost weight on Weight Watchers or whatever, and then they certify them as coaches, or they get them to, you know, they have some certification, I would hope, right, that to be a coach. And then they help the people who come in aboard a Weight Watcher to help them actually achieve their goal, their weight. So it's a very powerful, very valuable, you know, tool that you can use with another human interaction. Is it effective the way they do it? I have no idea. I mean, if just people really just telling you things just because they want your business, I don't think it's very effective. I think they want to tell you what is really right for you. I don't take on anybody, be honest with you. Like, I have a process that I go through. You know, when I bring on a new client, if they're not right client for us, I can't help them with a specific. If they really set in their mind they don't want to change, there's nothing I can do for them. I can lie. Yeah, I'll take your money and just whatever.
But you wouldn't do that.
It really comes back to you. Yeah, it comes back to the person. They want that change. They desire the change, and they need the help, and the help is there. That's the key.
Yeah, a coach is not just a yes person to say yes to whatever you're doing.
I don't
That's not what a coach
yes,
is.
No. I am not a, like, just a pleaser. I don't live as a pleaser. I never please anybody.
Don't hire Coach Rhea to be your yes man, your yes woman. She'll, she will not deliver on that.
I love that movie, by the way.
It was a good movie. Okay, Coach Rhea, again, thank you so much for your involvement at the end of the show. I really appreciate your time here.
Thank you. Goodbye, man.
All the best.
Thank you. Bye-bye.